of people who used to sing in the choir, of people who used to teach Sunday school, of people who used to work on a bus route, of people who used to knock on doors and visit, of people who used to preach, of people who used to have a testimony, who shine, who would raise their hand and praise God. I can make you a list of people this morning that no longer do it. The question is this morning, what has hindered you? God's still the same now as He was 5 years ago. The Lord hadn't changed. He deserved to be praised and worshiped now much as He did years ago, right? How about it? You were zealous in the work for God. There was a time when some of you here this morning would not miss a church service. You wouldn't think of it. Even your vacation, you would plan around trying to make sure you were here for church every service that you could. And what you need to realize this morning is that living for God isn't always a breeze. We're in a fight. There'll be times when you can actually feel something trying to hold you back. Now that word hinder is a much stronger word than we usually think about. Everybody be still now. Sit down. Nobody else talking. Too much moving. Too much moving. Everybody be still. That word hinder is much stronger than we normally, the definition that we attach to it normally. When I first read that scripture, I thought hinder meant just a soft little, like a breeze, like I'm going to hinder this, like that, see? Just something softly pushing up against it. I got the dictionary down, and I looked up the word hinder, and I found out that the word hinder is a lot stronger word than we normally think about it. It literally means to hold back or to get in the way of, to hinder that. It means that something just gets a hold of your coattail and holds you back, literally. Now, we have a mistaken idea sometimes that once we get saved, once we get in church, and once we get on fire for God, that since we have done right, God will make it possible that we can just run like a deer for His glory and just keep right on running. What we forget is there is a power and a force trying to stop us. The devil knows after you get saved, he knows he ain't gonna get your soul, so he tries his best to mess up your life and knock you out of the race for God. Now, let's just assume this morning, Brother Jonathan, you come up here just a second. And he's going to be a young man here. Let's say this is a young man, and he's going to start out living for the Lord, okay? He's going to turn this way. Now, let's just let this walk down through here represent your Christian life. He's coming down through here. He's going to say, he's going to church. He's going to Sunday school. He's going to read the Bible. He's going to pray. He's going to attend church services faithfully. He's going to try to witness. He's going to... And a lot of times we think, boy, since I'm doing this, God's not going to let nothing happen to me. But we forget about something. We forget that even though you have a saved soul, that your body is still open to all the temptations that you had before you got saved. And the world still looks good to you. And the flesh still is tempted by the things of the world. So the word hinder means to hold back, keep back, or get in the way of. Now, there's somebody that does that. It's the devil. Jason, here is the devil right here. Big devil too, ain't he? Jason here will represent the devil. His job is to stop him from living for God. See? His job. The word hinder means get in the way of. Keep. Hold back. See? Now that's the devil's job. All right? Go over and get him, devil. Now, you try to live for God. See? The devil is holding him back. Amen. Now, you're no match for the devil in your own strength. Now, don't get into it here now, boys. Just take it easy. It's just an illustration. All right. Now, he's in there. That's the way the devil does. Have you ever noticed? You know, a lot of people ask me sometimes, they say, preacher, how come these Jehovah's Witnesses can get out and knock on doors all day and these Mormons, and I try to do it and everything goes wrong because there's no devil trying to stop them. You ever thought about that? There's no power working against them Mormons. They can ride them bicycles all over creation, not think a thing about it, and just knock on doors all day long. But you try to do it with the truth and watch what happens. I've been sitting over here. Just stay right there, boy. I've been sitting over here before and been down like this. And I've been saying, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. While they're getting ready to, or they're singing or something like that. And when I get up to preach, sometimes it feels like somebody sets down on my chest. You can feel it. It's just like something's going, sit down, you big mouth. Sit down, you. Like, I got a letter the other day. God blessed me out. I told him about it out the camp. This guy was giving me down the road. He was in South Carolina, and he heard me on the radio, and he gave me a warning. And here's what he said. This has really hurt my feelings. He said, your gum-bumping days are about over. That's what he said. The first person I hear repeat that in here, I'm on. Ask the Lord, let you stump your toe. He said, your gum-bumping days are about over. I thought, man, that's the first time I've ever been called a gum bumper. That really hurts my feelings. But you see, the devil says, shut up, gum bumper. We don't want to hear you today. We don't want nothing. Listen, whether you believe it or not, the devil don't want me doing what I'm doing right now. There's forces working against. You know, that's why a lot of people don't realize what kind of work preaching is. You ought to try it sometime. You think we just get up here and make a little speech and all that. The whole time, it's like something buzzing around your head. Your thoughts, it's hard to keep them together. And then I got to look at you for a solid ever how long I'm up here. And some people, you know, sitting there like this and going to sleep. And somebody missing with their lips. And somebody smacking a kid. And then somebody looking up the ceiling. And the whole time, you know, I'm trying to ask the Lord what He wants me to say and all of that. There's something trying to hinder you. There's something trying to hinder you. Every time, some of you didn't even come to Sunday school this morning. You come dragging in here at 11 o'clock for preaching. You know what? Something got a hold of you and told you, you just can't make it. You just can't make it. You can't get there that early. You let the devil hinder you. You know why? Sometimes I just jump up and say, get out of my way, I'm going to preach because I'm supposed to preach. That's what you got to do for Sunday school. That's what you got to do to read your Bible. That's why. Have you ever noticed how you can stay awake and watch TV as late as you want to? But as soon as you get that Bible out, you don't read 10 verses and you can't hold your eyes open. You know what I believe? I believe the devil goes like that and closes your eyes. You can put your Bible back down, open up a newspaper, and be wide awake. You get down to pray, you go into a coma. I mean, your mind, you start seeing visions and dreams and everything else. All right? He's starting to walk for the Lord. The devil's never going to give up. He's not going to let you just come to Sunday school and get away with it. He's going to hinder you. Get back here behind him sometimes. Sometimes he does it like this. Get back here behind him. And he hinders him like that, see? And he won't let him live for God. He won't. I'm glad you didn't iron that shirt this morning. But you know what he does? He hinders him. All right, y'all can sit down. The devil's job is to hinder you. You think you're gonna live in this wicked world and just go to church and serve God? That's like thinking you can jump in the lake and not get wet, man. I mean, the whole world's against you. It's against you. You're going against the grain. It's like trying to swim up a river. You're not going to just float up. It takes an effort that you've got to fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. What has hindered you this morning? What's your problem? Huh? Let me ask you some questions by process of elimination, just quickly. Number one, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? Now, that's a ministerial way of saying, did you see somebody you believed in mess up and it messed you up? But since I'm a preacher, I got to appear to be educated once in a while. And so I say, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? What that means is, when Jim Baker messed up, did you mess up? What that means is, did you see somebody that's a hypocrite and it threw you for a loop? You can understand that better, I believe. I want to tell you what, brother, you'd be surprised at the people this morning that was at one time on fire for God, that loved God, that served God, and they had their eyes on some spiritual leader or somebody that they thought loved God, and then that person turned out to be a fake or a hypocrite, and it overthrew their faith, and they got disillusioned with God and disillusioned with church and disillusioned. If you're not careful, the devil will cause you to think, well, everybody's a a hypocrite. Nobody's what they claim to be. Everybody. And the devil will use that to hinder you. I just heard about this week. Just this week. I heard about one of my preacher friends who's having some serious difficulty. And the last word I heard was, he's going to just resign and get out of the ministry, quit preaching altogether. And that hurt me. That hurt me. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to let it hinder me from doing God's will. I'm not going to sit at home this morning and say, oh well, so-and-so messed up, and so-and-so messed up, and so-and-so messed up, and Jimmy Swagger messed up, and Jim Baker messed up. I just don't know. I know people, they said they quit going to church when that thing about Jim Baker happened. Now your first mistake was having your eyes on Jim Baker to start with. And Tammy, bless her heart, I mean, you couldn't take her serious. I mean, I felt sorry for her, really. I believe he knew what was going on. Bless her heart. You could come up and write your initials on her, man, with your finger on her jaw. You know, you heard the story down there. She went down the water slide down there at Heritage Fidel and turned it into a mud puddle. That's awful. That's awful. And I'm not throwing off on them people. I think they got Baker over in Asheville now, I heard. And I might go over and visit him. I don't know. Try to help him out. But I want to tell you something this morning, friend. You can't keep your eyes on people. You can't do it. People are just that. People. You know how to, you say, well, Brother Danny, years ago when I first got in church, I really believed in somebody and turned out there was a fake. Let me tell you what your Bible says. Your Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, what if this? What if, stand up over here, Jason. What if, let's say, let's go this way. Right there is Jesus, right up there on that sign, right? Now, I'm supposed to keep my eyes on Him. Now, the devil, you don't keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at me. Devil, look here. You're supposed to... Oh, brother. But you see what I have to work with? No, I'm just kidding you, brother. I appreciate it, Brother Jason. Listen, his job is to keep my eyes off Jesus. He comes out with everything. He comes out with movies. He comes out with this. And I was trying to keep my eyes on the Lord. And I'm trying to keep my eyes on the Lord. He says, look at that hypocrite. Look at that hypocrite. Look at that hypocrite. Now, I can't do that. I can't turn aside and say, oh, yeah. Man, I quit. Look what he did. See, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. That's what's wrong with some of you folks sitting right in here this morning. You say, well, I just got hurt by so-and-so. See, the devil used that to hinder you. Put your eyes on the Lord, man. He won't hurt you. Amen. He won't hurt you. He won't let you down. Amen. You say, well, there's a lot of hypocrites at church, so I'm not going. Oh, come on, one more ain't going to hurt. Amen. Amen. Ain't none of us perfect. We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we are here this morning is a bunch of sinners saved by grace, asking God to help us and have mercy on us and give us grace to get us through another week of this old sin-cursed world. I need help this morning. I need God to work in our heart. My eyes is on Jesus. Well, you don't let that hinder you. Number two, were you hindered by persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition? You know, sometimes you can do pretty good in a fight till they whoop you upside the head. They let some of the bus kids out there put on some boxing gloves and box a little bit. And I guess they might not should have done that, but it was fun anyway. And, you know, it's just all in fun, just sparring a little bit, you know. And, you know, anybody can fight. I'd love to fight, boy, if I get to do all the hitting. But you know where a lot of Christians are? Hey, this Christian life's fun. Bam, bam, bam. We get to hit everything. About that time, they go, pow. They go, phew. I didn't know I was going to have to put up with this. And then they lick their wounds and go home and say, I can't handle this. We do good till we get hit. And then when we get hit, we start whining. We're living in a soft generation. We're living in a generation that don't want to take nothing. We want to give it. We want to dish it out. We want to lay it on everybody else. But we don't want. When we get hit, it's, you know, we took a tail between our legs and run to the house. We have got to realize you're going to be persecuted. You've got to realize you're going to be made fun of. You've got to realize people are going to laugh at you. That's why I tell them boys at camp, I say, any wimp can play football. I mean, there's some big guys play football, and I got respect for them. But it takes a lot more guts to stand up for Jesus Christ when they're laughing at you and making fun of you than it does to box or play football. Guarantee it. If you don't believe it, try it. If you don't believe it, grab you a handful of tracks and take them to school the first day. And then tell me which one takes more guts. Man, there's no comparison. It takes, but you're going to get persecuted. You say, well, Brother Danny, I really try to do right. And they said something that hurt my feelings. And I said, they don't appreciate me. I'll just quit. Some of you used to go on visitation and you went to a few houses and it blowed up in your face or somebody cussed you out or something like that. And you let that scare you off. You let that hinder you. Bible said in the book of Acts, you listen to me? I don't care what Dr. Bottle Stopper said. In the book of Acts, they practice house to house teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. It's scriptural. Scriptural. And sometimes they're going to get mad at you. Sometimes they'll slam a door in your face. You've heard me tell before. I won't tell all my stories how it's happened to me personally, but one time as a lady called me up a few years ago. It was about the middle of winter, right after Christmas, right during the Christmas season. She said, is this Danny Castle? I said, yes, ma'am, sure is. She said, I have a complaint. And I said, well, okay, what can I do for you? She said, this literature that you people are giving out from your church, it's awful. And I said, now, ma'am, what literature are you talking about? She said, it's got my son tore all to pieces. She said, he's upset. He's only about 10 or 11 years old. She said, he's all to pieces. I said, ma'am, what? I said, I didn't give him. I don't even know your son. She said, them boys that go to your church have been out here at the shopping centers and they're giving this literature out and it's upset my son terribly. I said, what in the world is it? She was referring to a gospel tract called Ho Ho. And it's one they give out at Christmas time and it's got Santa Claus on the front of it. And this guy, he's got a pitchfork like this and horns coming out from under his hat. And he's like this, like he's the devil. And she said, this is uncalled for, this literature like it. She said, it's got my son tore all to pieces. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, look at it. It's got this devil on the front of it and a Santa Claus suit. And I said, now listen, ma'am, you've got to understand. We're not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. We're not trying to cause no trouble. We're just trying to show how that people have substituted Santa Claus at Christmas for Jesus, and that Jesus should really get the glory and the praise and honor. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, yes, but this literature is offensive, and this literature has my son upset. And I said, now listen, why don't you just explain to them? I said, he's got to find out there ain't a Santa Claus sooner or later. She said, I know that. I've been trying to teach him that. I said, listen, why don't you do, just tell him that his daddy is Santa Claus and his daddy brings the presents and his daddy does all that. She said, that's the problem. She said, that's what I've told him. Now he thinks his daddy's the devil. I said, oh my soul. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get her to understand. She was mad, I ain't kidding you. She was mad. I said, I'm sorry about that. I really hate that, I really do. I said, what can I do to make it up? She said, well, it's just got my son tore all to pieces. And I finally got her address. I said, just give me your address. You won't tell me your name, just give me his name and address. And I went out somewhere and bought him a Christmas present and wrapped it up and mailed it to him. That's the way we said we're sorry for making him think his daddy's a devil. But you know what we ought to do? What if I'd have just said, well, people don't understand. I'm never going to give out a track again. I'm just going to quit this preaching business because people don't understand. Listen, you can let stuff like that hinder you. How would you like to be called a gum bumper? That's embarrassing. You know what? The Bible said by the preaching of the cross, it's foolish to get up here and scream and holler in front of it. You think it ain't? Let's see you get up here and run around and scream and holler in front of this many people. It's embarrassing. But I'm willing to do it for the Lord because of what He done for me. And I ain't going to let somebody accuse me of being a gum bumper stop me. Not only that, quickly. were you hindered by the pull of this world? You young people, I know what your problem is. You get on fire for the Lord. I see it all the time. We got so many things going on here for young people, you ain't got no excuse to backslide. We got young preachers preaching a house down tonight. You ought to be here. We got youth choir going to sing Tuesday. We got Miss Brooks going to do something with teenage girls Saturday night. We'll have tons of teenagers here getting on fire for God next Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you mean it. You mean to get in there. You say, boy, I'm going to do right. Then when you go back out there in that world, it's just like a magnet pulling at you. Pulling at you. See? You get on fire and you say, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Praise the Lord, I'm going to live right. And then after church that night, you go out to Hardee's. Here comes a car around. Three red lights down, you hear this. he'll be here in a minute. I hear him. He's around the next bend. See? Them guys, they got to be deaf. You know what? They got to be. You can hear them before you see them, and then you can smell them about it before you can see them. And that right there, just take that sap out of it. And you just start feeling that world just pull you out. You let it pull you out if you ain't careful. A decision must be made. You can't love God and love this world at the same time. Can't do it. Can't be done. Or you're hindered by the pull of the world. Lastly, and I'm through. Were you hindered? Listen. Listen, adults. Were you hindered by some willful act of disobedience? I'm convinced this morning there's a lot of people, good people, people that really want to serve God that are sitting on church pews back in their past somewhere a year ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, along, they messed up. I mean, they done something bad wrong. And they've been to the altar and they've asked forgiveness, but they just can't seem to get over it. And they feel like, God's through with me. I can never be used again. Nobody will ever have no confidence in me. I might as well just hang it up. Might as well just forget it. I want to ask you something. Were you hindered? I knew a man one time who got himself into a situation that he shouldn't have got into. Done wrong. And I saw him sit in this church just with his face covered with guilt. I mean, I felt so sorry for him. He's just suffering. Just suffering. He felt so guilty. And he come to the altar two or three times asking forgiveness. Right now, this morning, he's out. Don't even go to church. Don't even go to church. The devil used that mistake that he made, that sin he committed, to hinder him. I'm not belittling sin this morning. Sin's awful. But I will say this. If you've messed up and you've let the devil trip you and you fell into sin and you have with all of your heart confessed that thing to God and you've got on this altar and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. And by the way, if you ask Him and you meant it, you're clean. I don't care how you feel. He said you was clean in His Word. Your problem is you don't feel clean, and the devil says, you're no good, you're awful, you can't, and there you can't witness, you can't be a blessing, you can't do nothing because that thing has hindered you. You've got to just get up and say, by the grace of God, I got it right, I'm forgiven, and I'm going on for the glory of God. You can sit there for 10 years, and it ain't going to clear your conscience. You hearing me this morning? There's some of you sitting in here this morning. You won't even sing in the choir because the devil's convinced you you're not worthy. You feel guilty all the time. You say, you can't say, you're just not where you ought to be. You're just not where you ought to be. Well, you ask God to forgive you and help you and get it right and put it behind you and, brother, get your act together and go on and serve God anyway. You say, well, what will somebody, it don't matter what somebody thinks, it's what God knows. Don't let stuff like that hinder you. If a tree sets, if a tree out here don't bloom or put out no leaves or no acorns or no fruit for 3 or 4 years in a row, friend, something is wrong. And if a Christian sits on a church pew for 4 and 5 years, just the same every Sunday, no smile, no testimony, no joy, no happiness, no growth, no witness, no nothing, something is wrong. The devil has hindered you. What you need to do this morning is try to put your finger on whatever it was that hindered you and get over it. Put on this all this morning and get over it and say, I'm going to get on fire for the Lord. Okay? Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I've just tried to bring you this short message this morning. What has hindered you? And I'll guarantee you, that there's people in here this morning, the devil's hindering you, and there ain't nothing you can do. You can't go back and undo what you done last month. There ain't nothing you can do. You can't go back and uncommit a sin that you committed 10 years ago. You need to just get in on fire for God and get it behind you and get it right. That's what you need to do. Heavenly Father, I pray for that person that's here this morning, that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that teenager who's struggling. The devil's hindered them. I pray this morning that they'll put it all on the altar for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.